الله وبركاته. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Indeed, all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His refuge from the evil of our souls. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whoever is left astray from the guidance of Allah, none can guide. And I testify that there is no deity worthy of being worshipped other than Allah. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His final prophet and messenger. As to what follows, know that the best of words are the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of matters are the innovated ones. And every innovation in religion is misguidance. And every misguidance only leads to hellfire. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who united us in this place, in a gathering that He loves, where it's the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal that gets us together. No worldly gain. We're not here today to make money from one another or to really benefit from one another worldly. Rather, I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make our intentions right and to make it a blissful gathering for all of us. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to gather us under His shade on the day when there is no shade but His shade. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, there's nothing more beautiful in life than to know that you are loved and that you have a very, very special position. And what makes it even greater and better is when you know that you are loved by someone that if He loves you, it is enough. Meaning that you have all the protection, that you have all the help, that you have a special position in which if you were to ask, you will never be rejected. And if you were to seek protection, you'll be protected. And if you wanted anything, you will get it. And this is from Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning to know that you are loved by Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the greatest thing in life. The greatest thing ever. To know that you are loved by Allah Azza wa Jal. Tonight, insha'Allah, my talk shall be entitled, Does Allah Azza wa Jal love you or not? Now let me begin by saying to you, we cannot be for certain, for sure, that Allah loves you or me. Why? Because there's no more wahi. There's no more revelation being sent down to say, Ya fulan, you are loved. So you can be certain that you are loved. Rather, there are signs in which if they are found in a person, they are signs that this person could be from those who Allah Azza wa Jalla loves. Now, the concentration isn't on the fact, do you love Allah Azza wa Jalla? Despite the fact it's a very, very important question. Do you love Allah Azza wa Jalla? Of course it's a very important question. But what is more important, does Allah love you? Does Allah love you? And this is how Allah Azza wa Jal addressed it in the Quran when He said, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu man yartadda minkum 'an dinihi فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Listen to the translation. O you who believes, whoever turns away from his religion, whoever apostates, that Allah Azza wa Jal will bring people whom He loves and they love Him. Allah Azza wa Jal in this verse, He mentioned firstly His love, because that's what really matters. That's what really matters. And this is what Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions in his tafsir. Many of us, subhanallah, when it comes to one another, we are very, very picky about one another. For example, if I was to say to you that such and such from the very well respectable people, from the ones who have the ability, for example, to help you in a specific field loves you. A question might turn around straight away and someone might say, why you? Why specifically you? What's so different about you? Why are you the one chosen out of all these people to be loved? This is how we'll treat one another in a worldly way, true or not? We'll say, why you? What made you special? True or not? Now, a lot of us, subhanAllah, have this pre-assumption that Allah Azza wa Jal loves me. And a lot of us talk like that. The question I would like to ask, why you? What did you do, ya akhi? What's so different about you so that Allah Azza wa Jal loves you? You might turn around and say, there's not a time that I raised my hands except that I have received that which I asked. And this is a sign that Allah Azza wa Jal loves me, because in the hadith narrated by al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith Qudsi, he said, "Wala in sa'alani la'atiyanna." And if he asked me, I shall give him. I tell you, akhi, it's true. But you shouldn't be certain. Why? Because you should not take it as granted that Allah Azza wa Jal loves you if He answers your call. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, إِيَّاكَ أَن تَظُنَّ أَنَّ اسْتِجَابَةَ اللَّهِ لِدُعَائِكَ لِكَرَامَتِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ يَسْتَجِيبُ لِدُعَاءِ الْعَبْدِ لِيَطْرُدَهُ عَنْ بَابِهِ. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, some scary words. Don't you dare think, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he's saying, don't you dare think that if Allah Azza wa Jal answers your call, it's because you have a very special position with Allah Azza wa Jal, that you are very, very loved by Him. He said, no. Allah Azza wa Jal may respond to your call to turn you away, because He doesn't want to hear your call anymore. He doesn't want to hear your call. Someone might turn around and say, what are you saying? I will tell you, there's proof from the Qur'an to say this. There's proof from the Qur'an to say this. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he followed it up with the proof. And this is the way of the Salaf. They want to speak about Allah, bring proof. He said, كَيْفَ وَقَدْ أَعْطَى أَبْغَضَ خَلْقِهِ مَا يُرِيدُهُ لَمَّا سَأَلَهُ النَّظْرَ أَعْطَاهَا لَهُ. He said, how could it be that it's a sign that He loves you when He has given the most despised of His creation to Him, in Iblis, the one who He hates? He gave him what he wants when he asked Allah Azza wa Jal, رَبِّ فَأَنظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُ. Oh my Lord, give me respite. Let me live until the Day of Judgment. He said, قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنظَرِينَ. You are of those who will live until the Day of Resurrection. So I repeat the question. Is it really a sign that Allah Azza wa Jal loves you if He answers your dua? No. No. Many times, He's giving you that which you want to test you with it. To trial you with it. What are you going to do next? So not necessarily means He loves you. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions, تَمَامُ الْخِذْلَانِ أَن يَنْشَغِلَ الْعَبْدُ بِالنِّعْمَةِ عَنِ الْمُنْعِمِ وَبِالْبَلِيَّةِ عَنِ الْمُبْتَلِي. And it's the greatest loss for a person to be occupied with the blessing from the one who blessed him, and with the affliction from the one who afflicted him. So he might respond to you. But why? Why? To test you. And if you fail this test, you have lost the greatest loss. Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. A person that pretty much is asking Allah Azza wa Jal, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, $1,000 a week, bas. $1,000 clean the pocket. He gives you $1,500. For example. And then, you find yourself, subhanAllah, too busy making that $2,000, the $3,000. So him giving you what you want wasn't a sign that truly that it's a sign for sure that he loves you. It's a test. On the other hand, he might afflict you. And you will say to me, Akhi, I am tested. And those who Allah Azza wa Jal tests, He loves. Don't we all know this? That Allah Azza wa Jalla, if He loves someone, He will test him. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ الْعَبْدَ ابْتَلَاهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal, if He loves His servant, He tests him. So He told me, Yahi, I'm being tested. So I know that Allah Azza wa Jal loves me. I'll respond to you again. It's not a condition. And it's not for sure. Of course, a lot of us, subhanAllah, like to take it for granted. It's good to know or feel that you're loved. But also, you should always weigh things correctly. Not to have pre-assumptions and judge just like that. Let me give you an example. A man, for example, and this happened in reality, a man that's afflicted with diabetes. SubhanAllah, it happened to be that a brother entered onto his room and he found books stacked up on his table. Oof, 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 oof. What is this? He thought, subhanAllah, this person that walked in, he said, perhaps this person truly, yani, took this trial and this test to bring him closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because this is the whole idea of testing someone, is to bring him closer to Allah. So he said to him, what is these books? He said, Habibi, these are books about diabetes. I'm learning about diabetes. So I know the disease, what it is. Look, Habibi, Allah Azza wa Jal did not throw you in his test and put you into this situation so you can go and get busy with what? The affliction from the afflictor. Make sense, brothers? Are you all with me on the same boat, or someone jumped off and said, Wallah ma'am famshi? Told him, Yahi, these books, Allah Azza wa Jal put you through this test. Not so you can get busy with the affliction itself, but to get busy with the afflictor. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Tawbi Ya Rab, khalas. Wallahi Ya Rab, let this be the kafara. Let this be kafara Ya Rab. Ya Rabbi khalas, ana, binisba la'ini, to me Ya Rab, I don't mind. Whatever happens to me, I don't mind. As long as you're pleased. As long as you love me Ya Rab. As long as you forgive me Ya Rab. Now this person's too busy with the books, reading about diabetes. I'm giving you the example to bring it closer to your mind. So I repeat the question. Is it necessarily that if a person's tested and trialed, that Allah loves him? No. No. If he's busy with the affliction? No. If he's busy with the afflictor, with Allah Azza wa Jal, and he's sincere and he's turning to him? Most likely, yes. Most likely, yes. Because إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِينَ. Indeed, actions are according to the end. So most likely, yes. This same person, subhanAllah, the person that entered onto this gathering, the one who saw these books, he saw on his other side, other books. He said, Tayyib Habibi, what are these books? What are all these books? And I understand here you're too busy learning about the affliction. Perhaps these would be learning about the afflictor, learning about Tawheed, learning about Allah Azza wa Jal, learning about, you know, how can you really, really learn about the Qur'an, learning about how to purify your nafs and your heart through the Qur'an in the correct way. Said, what about these books? He said, ah, Allah, I'll tell you. These books are books about those famous people that got afflicted with diabetes. I want to learn about them. What did they do? SubhanAllah, man. What are we doing? So I'll go back to the question. Does it necessarily mean, if Allah Azza wa Jal trials you and afflicts you, that what? That He loves you? La. And as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, تمام الخذلان أن ينشغل العبد بالنعمة عن المنعم وبالبلية عن المبتلي. I repeat the word in English. The great loss is for the servant to be busy with what? With the blessing from the one who blessed him, and with the affliction from the one who afflicted him. So be aware, brothers. Be watchful and be on guard. Tayyib. How do we know if someone is loved by Allah Azza wa Jal? How do we know? Before I move on to that, let me just say to you something. Do you know what it means to be loved by Allah Azza wa Jal? Do you really, really know? Let me give you a hadith. Let me give you a hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari.
and ponder over these words and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make you of them. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make all of us of them. And Bukhari narrates that if Allah Azza wa Jal, the Prophet said, if Allah Azza wa Jal loves the servant, he calls out to Jibreel, Ya Allah. Imagine your name called to Jibreel. Ya Jibreel, I love such and such, I love you. Jibreel here, you're talking about, if Allah loves him, I have to love him. Allah does not love except that which is good. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't love the criminals, the evildoers, the show-offs, the ones who cause corruption, those who associate partners to him, those who do the opposite to what he commands them. Allah only loves that which is good. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah Azza wa Jal is good. He doesn't love, doesn't accept except goodness. Doesn't accept except goodness. طيب. Jibreel loves this person. Ya Allah. Makes an announcement. Makes an announcement. In the upper heavens. Allah loves such and such. So I love him. Allahu Akbar. And the angels pass it on between each other. Love such and such. Imagine your name echoing up in the heavens. Your name is mentioned up in the heavens. Muhammad, Ahmed, Khalid, you name it. Allahu Akbar. And then the call is made in the earth that Allah loves such and such. So love him. So that's why you'll find, Wallahi, Wallahi al-Azim. They didn't even know him that well. The person may not be known. Taqi, khafi. Taqi, khafi. Pious and hidden. No one knows him. That's Wallahi, I looked at him, I loved him. Talaat bihek, I loved him. That's how you find it. Tab, how did you love this person? Of course, I'm giving you an example in general. I'm not speaking about a specific experience that I have. No, in general. Everyone loves him. Everyone's accepting him. They cannot take him as an enemy. And only those who hate Allah Azza wa Jal and those who hate Islam hate him. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the authentic narration, he carries al-Husayn and he says, Allah loves him and he will love whoever loves him. Yani khalas. This person, to love him, is from loving Allah Azza wa Jal. Are you getting a picture, brothers? On the other hand, if Allah dislikes a person, he calls it out the same way. So imagine a name, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Imagine a name called out Muhammad or Ahmed or Khalid or one of those who, subhanAllah, they thought they're doing good but they're not. Imagine that, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So be aware. Once it's mentioned that Al-Khawlani, I'm trying to remember his name, I have it written here. Abu Idris Al-Khawlani. He entered upon the mosque of Dimashq after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died in Damascus. He entered the mosque in Damascus after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. Of course, we all know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died in Medina. Happened to be that he was there. He saw that people gathered all around a man. Brothers, can you please, for those who are sitting there, if you don't mind, please forgive me, I don't mean to be annoying, but can you move to that side? Wa jazakum Allahu khairan. May Allah reward you. He saw people gathered around. Who is this man? Who is he? He asked around, who is this man that everyone's surrounding him and really, and he treated him nicely. He said, Daka Mu'adh. That is Mu'adh bin Jabal. Listen to this. After everyone went, he said, tomorrow I'm going to come to the mosque early, inshallah. I want to do a righteous act. Abu Idris al-Khawlani, he enters the mosque and he finds Mu'adh bin Jabal already there. SubhanAllah, he wanted to do something and he said to himself that I want to be the first to enter the mosque today. So he entered the mosque and he found Mu'adh bin Jabal there. So he went up to Mu'adh. And from what the narration indicates, he didn't really know him that well. But he told him, Ya Mu'adh, I love you for the sake of Allah. I love you for the sake of Allah. Mu'adh got him close. Said, by Allah, is it only for Allah that you love me? Is it only for Allah Azza wa Jalla that you love me? He said, wallahi, it's only for Allah. I don't love you for any other reason, except that I love you fi Allah. Uhibbuka fi Allah. He said, he got him even closer. He said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, wajabat muhabbati lilmutahabbina fi. My love is incumbent. And it's going to be for those who love each other for my sake. So what a beautiful love. What a beautiful love. Yani subhanAllah, the love of brotherhood. And you know, to know also that Allah Azza wa Jalla would love you for the fact that you love each other as brothers. By the way, this is just something to show you how Allah Azza wa Jalla would throw into the hearts of people the acceptance of that person. That they will surround him, they will love him. But what are the description or the descriptions of the people whom Allah Azza wa Jal loves? Before I go on to that, I'd like to bring it to your mind that many claimed that Allah Azza wa Jal loves them. And many even claim that they love Allah Azza wa Jal. But that is something, and the reality is something else. It's as they say in Arabic, he entered the oceans of love, didn't even get wet. He entered the oceans of love and walked up without even getting wet. Yeah, and he doesn't even know what it's all about. The Jews claimed it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran about them, what? What did he call them? In Surah Al-Fatiha. Come on, brothers. Radhalin. Waladhalin. The misguided ones. The Christians said it. What did he say about them? Al-Ghayr al-Maghdubi alayhim. Ghayr al-Maghdub. Those who Allah is angry with them. Sorry. The Jews and Maghdub and Adhalin is the Christians. So Allah Azza wa Jal refuted them. And many Muslims even claim that Allah Azza wa Jal loved them. But is it a reality? Again, we'll look at the actions. How do we know if someone is loved by Allah Azza wa Jal? As I mentioned, you can't be certain. But there are signs. And if you do these signs, you will be from of those people whom we know from the Quran and the Sunnah that Allah Azza wa Jal loves these people. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of them. So who are these people? The first, they are people who do what Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered them to do. You want to become loved to Allah? Do what He ordered you to do. There's no better way. There's no other way. You want to enter onto a palace? What's the best way to enter? From where? You come from the windows? You come from the tunnel? You come as a parachute? Where do you come? From its gate. The gateway into Islam, the gateway so that Allah Azza wa Jalla can love you is through what? Is through what? Doing what He ordered you to do. That's the gateway. That's the door for it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith collected by al-Bukhari, he said, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَطْتُ عَلَيْهِ. My servant has not drawn nearer to me with anything more beloved to me than that which I have made as obligatory upon him. So, this is the first point. Anything that Allah Azza wa Jal ordered to do, apply it if you want Him to love you. Do it if you want Him to love you. How can you claim that you love Him and you disobey Him? How can you claim you love Him and you love other than Him? So if you want Allah Azza wa Jal to love you, and if you are truthful in your claim that you love Him, do that which He loves. And that which He loves is what? Is that which He has made obligatory upon you. Another way. Another very, very important area. And I'll mention a few points tonight inshallah, and I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make them all beneficial for you. The second one is to be in that constant state of remembrance to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Remembrance, not of the remembrance where the tongue is busy but the heart is somewhere else. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions in his book Asrar al-Salah, he said, the likeness of the person, he stood there in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he's talking about prayer, let's take that as an example, and his mind is somewhere else, and his heart is somewhere else, is like that man who entered upon a king. Of course, وَلَا تَضْرِبُ اللَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ. Do not give Allah Azza wa Jalla descriptions. But this is not a description to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's to show you how a person would not allow it worldly, but he would allow it with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, he stood there in front of a king. And instead of him asking the king, he got busy. He got busy around him, doing this, doing that. And the king is there waiting. Ya akhi, ask. For example, a worldly king. Ask. He's busy, looking around, playing around. Again, many of us, we're in a state of remembrance to Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's say in our prayer, but are our hearts there? Are our minds there? Are we really there, really, in reality? We supplicate with our tongues. We supplicate with our tongues. Yes, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. But really, is our hearts in this? Is our minds in it? Or really, is it lip service? Body service, just pretty much moving around. Your mind's not there, your heart's not there. So the best way, or one of the best ways, to have Allah Azza wa Jalla loving you, is to be in a state of remembrance to Allah Azza wa Jal, where you remember Him truly, not only with your tongue, not only with your arms when you're praying and your legs, no. A true state of remembrance where your heart is present, your mind is present in all areas of life, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. Another very important way is to love the Qur'an. You want Allah Azza wa Jalla to love you? Love His Qur'an. Love His Qur'an. It's said by one of the great scholars, Sahal al-Tusturi. He said, عَلَامَةُ حُبِّ اللَّهِ عَلَامَةُ حُبِّ اللَّهِ حُبِّ الْقُرْآنِ. From the signs of true love to Allah Azza wa Jalla is that you love the Qur'an. That you love the Qur'an. وَاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. If you truly, truly purify your heart in terms that you really, really want to benefit from the Qur'an, you ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to benefit you with it, wallahi, you will never, ever, ever have enough of the Qur'an. لَوْ طَهِرَةٍ قُلُوب مِنَ النِّفَاقِ مَا شَبِعَتْ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. This is the statement of one of the Salaf, one of the Sahaba mentioned this, that if the hearts are pure from hypocrisy, it would never, ever have enough from what? The words of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Never have enough. You want Allah Azza wa Jalla to love you? Love His Qur'an. Be in a state where you're always reciting the Qur'an. Always hearing the Qur'an. Always implementing the Qur'an in your life. In all aspects. No matter which area it is, you're always desiring to implement the Qur'an. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will love you for that. Another way is to sit with those people who truly love Allah Azza wa Jalla. To spend time with those who you see that they truly love Allah Azza wa Jalla. How do you know it? You see that from their marching towards Allah, their obedience to Allah, their submission to Allah. You find that there are people who are always desiring to spread good, calling to good. People who you see their honesty in their behavior, in their actions. You want Allah Azza wa Jalla to love you? Hang around with these people. Spend your time with them. Make them your best companion. Make them your best companion. I was told that you were learning Tafsir Surah Al-Kahf. True or not? In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the story of the people of the cave. There's something amazing in that story that the dog is mentioned. Of course, we don't want to do like some misguided people start to figure out what type of a dog and what's the name of the dog and how old was it and what color. But Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the dog. Why? Why? Because these people who are people who Allah Azza wa Jalla loved, true or not? A dog was mentioned in the Quran because of that. This is what the Salaf are mentioning. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he talks about this. He said, if a dog was mentioned because of people who owned it, imagine a person who hangs around with righteous people. Imagine a person who's hanging around with righteous people. People of goodness. People of piety. People of taqwa. People of Ahl Sunnah. People who really, really desire to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. If the dog was mentioned, then you might as well be mentioned. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions this. So hang around with the righteous people. People who always remind you of Allah Azza wa Jal. Advise you of good. Remind you when you forget, when you do the wrong. Hang around with them. And the best thing I can mention too, is do not escape gatherings like this. Do not escape gatherings like this. In one common thing that spread in Sydney, and spread among those, subhanAllah, who were not patient enough, is that they find, they say, Akhi, I can listen to the lecture at home. I can listen to the lecture at home. It's recorded. I'll listen to it at home. I'll watch it at home. I'll read a book at home. I don't need to attend these gatherings. It's late at night. What's the time now? 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. I don't want to go out of my house. Do you know how much reward there is in attending gatherings like this? And did you know that this is what brings you closer to Allah? And this is the reason why Allah Azza wa Jalla will love you? هم القوم لا يشقى فيهم جليسهم. They are the people whom, the people who sit with them. And the hadith mentions that the malaika go around from one gathering to another, looking for the gathering where it's a remembrance of Allah. Of course, the remembrance of Allah, the way that Allah wants, not the remembrance of Allah where it's disco and breakdancing and pretty much you don't know what's going on. No, the remembrance of Allah, the way Allah loves, the way Allah ordered for it, the way Muhammad ﷺ did it, the way his Sahaba did, such as in gatherings like this, of lessons. The angels will say, come, we have found that which you are looking for. And then I will sit there. The narration mentions that they will go up to Allah Azza wa Jal. And they'll say, Ya Rab, he'll ask them, where were you? And he knows where they were. But he asked them. They said, we were in a gathering of remembrance where people remember. Allah Azza wa Jal asked them, what were they asking for? What were they asking for? The angels replied, they're asking for paradise. Allah Azza wa Jal will say, have they seen it yet? They said, no. He said, what will happen if they have seen it? And what do they seek refuge from? He asked Allah. They replied by saying what? They are seeking refuge from Jahannam. He said, have they seen it yet? They reply, no. He said, what will happen if they have seen it? Then he will make them as witnesses, the angels, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with them and he will save them from Jahannam. Then it will be mentioned that there is such and such who was in the gathering. There was such and such in the gathering. Pretty much he happened to sit with them. For a need. Allah Azza wa Jal said, هُمُ الْقَوْمُ لَا يَشْقَى فِيهِمْ جَلِيسُ. They are the people whom no one is left miserable in between. And everyone's going to benefit. Everyone's going to gain. So if you want Allah Azza wa Jal to love you, attend the gatherings where there are righteous people found. Good people found. People who, by you being around them, it could be a reason why your name is mentioned where? In the upper heavens. To Allah Azza wa Jal. Another way to know if Allah has, or to gain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, is that you should always desire in all of your actions, no matter what it is, to desire to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people claim that they love Allah Azza wa Jal. The people of the book, they claim that they love Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah put them to test. Allah put him to test. If you truly love Allah, then hear this verse now, brothers. He said, if you truly love Allah, hear the verse and its translation, and you'll see what's the condition to prove it. Allah Azza wa Jal said, قُلْ إِن كُنتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you truly love Allah Azza wa Jal, then what? Then what? Then follow me, meaning follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will love you in return. So if you desire for Allah Azza wa Jal to love you, imitate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all of your actions. In the way he worshipped Allah, you worship him. Whatever he commanded, you do. Whatever he forbade you from, you leave. And this is how you prove that you truly love Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is how you gain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Another way is to be patient. To be patient in the path to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Verily Allah loves those who are patient. Those who are patient. So after you have made the decision that now I want to imitate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all my actions and obey Allah azza wa jal in all that which He has ordered me, you need to be patient. And when you are patient, Allah azza wa jal will love you for that. Allah azza wa jal will love you for that. Another way to gain the love of Allah azza wa jal is to love His names and attributes and to affirm it. To affirm it. Whatever Allah said about Himself, you say, I accept it. Without any changes. I accept it without any changes. And without any description on how and its reality. I affirm it to its meanings. But without going to hell. If you affirm what Allah affirmed for Himself, Allah will love you. Tell me proof. What is the proof? The proof is the hadith collected by Al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the case of a man presented in front of him. This man, he will always read Qul huwallahu ahad. He will always read Qul huwallahu ahad in his prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, why does he read it? Why Qul huwallahu ahad? Why Qul huwallahu ahad all the time? And there were more verses revealed. He said, it is the description or the attributes of Ar-Rahman. The attributes of the Most Merciful. And I love to repeat it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tell that man that Allah loves him because he loves his attributes. So I say this to those who Allah azza wa jal has blocked them from this gift of accepting all that which Allah azza wa jal has said about himself or his Prophet. I say, wallahi, you're depriving yourself, ya akhi. Of course, we don't want to go into detail. It's not the gathering for it. But I'll tell you very briefly, you need to accept everything. Whatever Allah describes Himself by, you accept it. You accept it. Whatever Muhammad SAW described Him by, you accept it. You're not doing anything wrong. You're doing what Allah ordered you to do. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهِ وَأَدْخَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. And this is mentioned in a book called Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah. That hadith that I mentioned earlier, Ibn Qayyim used it to say that whoever loves the attributes of Allah and the names of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will love him and enter him into paradise. So worship Allah Azza wa Jalla through His names and attributes. You know that He is As-Sami'a, the All-Hearing, Al-Basir, the All-Seeing, Al-Wadud, the Most Compassionate. You know that He is Al-Ghani, the Richest, the One who is not in need of anyone. You know that He is the one who punishes very severely. You know that He is the one who is above everything, above His throne. You know. You worship Him through this. You worship Him through it. And this is how Allah Azza wa Jal would love you. This is how Allah Azza wa Jal would love you. It will become a reason why He loves you. Also, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you want Allah Azza wa Jal to love you? I advise you to increase in your nawafil. To increase in your nawafil. To increase in the optional prayers. Or anything that is made optional. Of course, after establishing that which is obligatory. Firstly, you start with that which is obligatory. You establish it very well. You do it very, very well. You want Allah Azza wa Jal to love you? Of course, that is the reason why. But you want Allah Azza wa Jal, you want to actually prove it more? Increase in your optionals. No matter what it is. Whether it's the fasting, increase from it. Of course, don't connect all your days. No. If you want, one day yes, one day no. Or the three white days of the month. Or every Monday and Thursday. However you want to do it. Increase in the optional prayers. Increase in the optional charity. All these are signs. As-sadaqatu burhan. As-sadaqatu burhan. The charity is a sign. It's proof. It's proof that you love Allah Azza wa Jal. It's proof of your faith. It's proof that you're sincere. So increase in the options. The same hadith that I mentioned earlier on. The one I mentioned earlier where I said that the person will not come closer to Allah with anything more beloved to him than that which he has made obligatory. There's a continuation to it. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith Qudsi, he said, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبْ. My slave will continue coming closer to me with options until I love you. Until I love you. So increase in your options. And I advise you with one very, very important one, is the night prayer. How many of us are really, really, yani, putting this up, making it a part of our life? The night prayer. How many of us are really doing it? Of course it's optional. You're going to tell me, why are you being so extreme? Not being extreme, yaki. It's optional. It's optional. But remember this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhu arda, in the authentic narration, he said to him, ni'ma al-abd. He would have been a good servant if he prayed the night prayer. SubhanAllah. You're talking about who? Ibn Umar. Like Ibn Umar. You know who Ibn Umar is? Ibn Umar. You're talking about a person who was known for his taqwa, his piety, known for his knowledge, known for his desire to implement the sunnah. Prophet ﷺ said, ni'ma al-abd law annahu kana yusalli min al-layl. Ya Allah. He would have, Prophet ﷺ is saying, he is a good person only if he prayed at night. So I advise you, you really want to enter onto this gate and stand there and say, Ya Rab, love me. This is one of the gates. Increase in your optionals. Especially the night prayers. Especially the night prayers. The last third of the night. The last third of the night. When Allah Azza wa Jalla descends in a way that fits His majesty. And we do not deny what Allah Azza wa Jalla affirmed, what Prophet ﷺ affirmed, in a way that fits His majesty. And he will actually say, هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأُعْطِيهِ. Is there anyone who wants that I can give him? Imagine there. Imagine that moment. You're standing there, or you're in your sujood, in your ruku'. You've left your warm bed. You've made wudu, and you're saying, Ya Rab, love me. Ya Rab, I may be a person who is very short in his actions. However, ask you, Ya Rab, to make me of those whom you love. To ask Him really sincerely. That part of the night is a very, very important time. And you'll find that, brothers, there's no one who was known for his piety and taqwa and for his salah, of his righteousness, except that he had this attribute, night prayer. If you can't wake up before Fajr, do it before you sleep. And there's no proof. No proof to say that you have to do it in the last third of the night. There's no proof. Yes, it's preferred and it's better to do it in the last third of the night. However, if you know yourself, yaki, I can't wake up. I know I'm weak, yaki. Because I sleep at 12, for example. As an example, I sleep at 1 and I know I can't wake up before Fajr. Do it before you sleep. Pray 2 units. 4, 6, 8. Stand there and pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla. You don't know the Qur'an of Bahat. And you say to yourself, Ya Akhi, what am I going to read? If you want, read Qul Allahu Ahad. Read Qul A'udhu Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. Read any surah. Ya Akhi, you don't want to read something that you always read? Open up the Qur'an. Open up the Qur'an. Yani, the majority of the Salaf, and even from the great scholars, they agree on its allowance. Open the Qur'an and stand there and read it. Read it. And go down into your ruku', go down into your sujood, and be as if you're really, this is your last prayer. Make it your last, as if it's your last prayer. Inkasir amam Allah. Break in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Show you, admit your weakness. Akhi, wallah, you're not strong. Sister, wallah, you're not strong. Don't think you're strong. Wallahi, you are weak. Wallahi, you are poor. Wallahi, you are in need. Just break in front of Allah. Ya Rab. Ya Rab, give me, help me Ya Rab, accept me Ya Rab, forgive me Ya Rab, and increase from that. Allah Azza wa Jalla loves it. One of the Salaf, he said, yani this as an example, he said, a person will remain crying and asking Allah for forgiveness until He forgives him. Yani, if a mother, if she sees her son crying and crying, she's going to feel sorry for him. Allah is more merciful than a mother. As the hadith mentions it. The Prophet ﷺ saw a lady who was worried about her son. He said to the people, companions, he said, do you think that she will throw him into the fire? Do you think? And then he said, Allah is more merciful than his mother. Break in front of him. Ask him. Cry. cry. And if you can't cry, force yourself to cry. Make yourself cry. If you can't, continue to try. Don't give up. Don't give up. Continue to try. It's not a condition that you really, really have to have some tears coming out of your eyes. It's not a condition. Just break in front of Him. Let your heart be connected. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. So I advise you with the last third of the night. Wallahi, there could be not enough. And it will require many talks. The importance of this prayer. So I conclude with this. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit you. And one last thing. And I repeat to you. Also one of the important ways of gaining the love of Allah Azza wa Jal is to what? To love one another for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. To love one another for the sake of Allah. Yani, this is something, wallahi, it's one of the easiest ways, inshaAllah. To love one another, to be united, to gather upon goodness. This is also one of the ways to gain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit from what I have mentioned. If I have said that anything that's wrong, it's not by any intention, and it's from myself and the shaitan, and Allah is innocent from it, and His Prophet's innocent from it, and I ask you to, yani, to overlook it and to advise me. And if I said there's anything that's good, it's from Allah Azza wa Jal, and it's from what the Quran and the Sunnah mentions, and I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit you from it. So inshallah we'll conclude with that. Thank you very much for listening, and for yani, giving me this opportunity to talk in front of you. So all that's left now to you, brothers and sisters, is to let yani, these seeds that now I have planted, to let it grow. Let it become into actions now. Let it be followed now by actions. One of my beloved teachers, he had a very beautiful statement. He said, yeah, subhanAllah, this was in discussion, yani, to people who thought that their teachers are doing them a favor. Of course, some of you might be saying now, yani, you came down from Sydney to give us a talk, may Allah reward you. I said, Yahi, may Allah reward you for giving me the opportunity. The likeness of you guys, and may Allah make me truthful in my statement, is the likeness of that person who offered a land, and he said, plant the seeds in it now. So you did me a favor, brothers and sisters, by offering me this opportunity to plant these seeds. If they're good, please let it become trees, and let it grow into actions. If it's bad, just ignore it and throw it away. Wa jazakum Allahu khayran, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.